Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Spring of Life show. How are you today? My name is Jasmine, and I, along with my wonderful co-host, Benjamin, will be speaking.
Hello.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Just fabulous this evening. I hope it's the same for you.
Always fabulous. And it's really nice to hear your voice and so interesting to hear you over the radio. It's nice, actually. It's quite lovely. So I have been thinking about this radio show today and yesterday and the day before and mulling it over. And, you know, I came to this conclusion that, well, a conclusion, more like an awareness. And I was wondering about our audience out there, if any of you would like to chime in, I would really love that. Before I continue with my thought, the call-in number is 888-627-6008. And you can call in at any time you feel moved to do so. We would love to connect with you and hear your perspectives and answer any questions from our perspective that we can on any given topic. We're wide open. And that's essentially what we're here to do. And what I wanted to share is that I was feeling quite overwhelmed today about this show. And I spoke with Benjamin about it and ruminated myself and reflected on some things and recognized that there was a part of me that not only on this radio show, but in my life, was wanting to present an image. And I did my best to talk myself into believing that there was some prerequisite about the way things were supposed to look, the way my website is supposed to look, the way I'm supposed to present my information in the novel I'm wanting to write, in the way I'm supposed to speak on the radio, how I'm supposed to set things up. And I hid this image under the guise of wanting to be professional, whatever that meant. And for me, it had a lot of meanings and a lot of definitions. And I couldn't live up to them. I can't live up to them. I don't want to live up to them. Yes, Ben?
Isn't it kind of funny that being professional in that sense is almost like being perfectional? Having to be perfect and getting every dot right. And it's funny, once I create a nice piece of text for the website, then just a little bit later, I know 15 ways, at least 15, of how I want to change it. And then I find out just what the perfect way is right then and there. And then later I want to change it again. And this needs then to continuously keep changing it, because there is the perspective that it isn't perfect already, actually hinders it from seeing hinders me from seeing the beauty in what's already been created, rather than regarding it as an evolution. There is a need to then keep presenting an image that is better or needs to be better than it already is, which is sort of weird. It puts me in a loop of continuously being dissatisfied with what's already there.
Oh, I so get that. And that dissatisfaction, you know, I've been playing with that because I've had some stuff coming up. I'm always doing awareness work on myself and exploring who I am. And to all the beautiful, beautiful people that are sharing in this show and the vibration of it, I appreciate you. And that's really what it comes down to for me, why I'm doing this, is really just to share whatever happens to be present. And I recognize that in my sharing, I had, in my exploration, actually, because I've recognized that I can only ever explore myself through the reflection that I have with you. And this radio show is a great tool for that, for all of us, because I see all of you and everything in my life and everyone in my life as a reflection, because none of it can exist without my definition of it, without my perspective of it. I'm creating my experience of it. And that's what I love talking about, and that's what I love exploring. And in my exploration around this show, I've recognized that the overwhelm comes from wanting to create an image, which can lead to be real and truthful in this moment, has led to me being arrogant. And underneath that arrogance is a giant lake of self-doubt. I had to ask myself, why else would I try and create an image other than to doubt that I myself am enough, that whatever happens to come through this mouth, these words, in any action or anything that I say or feel, I must have believed didn't measure up. And I, you know, Ben, I have to, you know, do you have a measuring stick? Have you had that experience?
Absolutely. It's a constant fun joyride to keep exploring these inner worlds and to not only feel that I sometimes have to put forth an image, especially in this new world of, or maybe by now old world, but it's developed rather recently if we look at the entire history of humanity. In the industrial age, it's and by now the information age, it's very easy even to put a website forth and never really to get in touch with your clients and your customers, and thus to just project out an image that isn't necessarily actually who you really are. Even if, I mean, I've gone to jobs where I put forth an image of being a salesperson and representing my company in all sorts of ways, trying to upsell when that's not necessarily always the most authentic way of going about it. And I, for myself, have sometimes doubted not only the products, but even the company that I worked for, and myself, of course, as also. And that's part of the reason, too, why I wanted to really go a step deeper and start exploring my inner worlds. Because going about it in that fashion with doubt, or let's call it arrogance, is, or putting forth an image that isn't quite fully authentic, it creates feelings of dissonance. They're not really pleasant. So going within and actually exploring the inner worlds not only gave me a plethora of tools to get more and more into clarity for myself, but also just a joyride and a journey into a life experience that I much more so desire than anything that I was living before. This also is a little bit about where the analogy comes in that we talked about earlier today, Jasmine, about the car, where essentially that our bodies are like cars, for example. We get to navigate through the world and explore this wonderful place, yet a lot of us don't necessarily take the time to really explore what the dashboard is about. It's sort of like we're trying to drive and get from place A to place B without ever having really figured out what all the signs and signals are for. What are emotions even about? How can we use these thoughts to navigate to place B even better than we have before? Maybe we can make the ride that much smoother. And it's so important to get to know all the indicator lights and all the pedals and switches, because once we do, it's just an easy ride. Then we can actually focus on the environment. But before that, it's really tough to figure out. It's rough. And oftentimes, it's sort of like people outside of us start to determine for us where we should go, rather than ourselves, because we haven't quite gotten that grasp of really what even emotions are about. Because in the end, there are just really a nice guidance post, or a constant stream of guidance, even more so than just a post.
I hear that. And I love that analogy. And for me, I have another piece to that I'd like to add. For me, I've done a lot of personal work and awareness work, as we all have. I mean, even if we're listening to this show or we're interested in the station, there's some inner part of us that says there's something more. So having explored myself and continue to be amused with that, I also come across people, and I used to be one of them, who would look at the car, all the cars going by on the street. They're driving by and they're zooming along and it's quite wonderful. And I thought to myself, I'm going to drive a car. But if the car were likened to us navigating our lives and following our dreams and noticing our purpose because it's driven by excitement, then the only way to learn to drive that car is not simply by watching others and thinking, oh yeah, I can do that, because it looks so easy, and it is. But we actually have to step into the car, and like you spoke to, Benjamin, learn what the indicator lights are. Notice how to adjust the seat for our own comfort. Understand and have an idea and a concept of where it is we want to go. And I feel that those are important things for us to notice individually in our own lives, especially as we continue on our path and we open into relationships, whether those are intimate, family relationships, lovers, partnerships, business relationships, even the relationship we have with our body or with our websites or our radio shows. It's important to understand when we're driving along in our car, everything's great. We got the radio on, life is good, and we feel really good generally. Now, as soon as a light goes off on that dash, check engine or oil or something flashes or goes bing bong and makes these wonderful car sounds that they make, that allows us, it's an indicator that lets us know, ooh, something's going on. Pay attention. Maybe it's time to pull over. Perhaps I need gas. And maybe I need to call my mechanic. I liken the emotions to those indicator lights. And I'd like to talk a bit about emotions. I'm glad you brought that up, Ben, because for me, for a very long time, I had a lot of emotions and a lot of what I'll call fits of emotion. I used to be able to fly off the handle quite rapidly. In my past, I lost track of how many phones I broke because I would get frustrated or angry in the moment and then just take it out on the phone handle and slam, slam, slam it. I know, it's kind of...
I've done that too.
Have you done that too?
That and with Game Boys back in the day.
So, right, I mean, and you know, and I can even go when I was younger, my teenage years, I hit walls and harm my hand, and because I had all these flares, these energetic flares, and I didn't know what to do with them. I had no idea how to name them, where they came from, what happened. I really looked at my world as, oh, you know, maybe my boyfriend at the time, if he had only done this or didn't do that. And then and later with partnerships or bosses or friends. And I had no idea that I could actually befriend my emotions. I could understand them. I could name them. And I had no idea that they were just indicators for me that if I was still and I breathed into them and I did name them and I sat with them and I let them move through, that there was information. And that information, what I know now, when I'm feeling uncomfortable emotionally, lets me know that there's a belief or a definition or a meaning that I'm giving to a certain circumstance or an event that's going on in my world that isn't serving me. Because the one thing I've recognized, we all talk about life purpose. If I had one, it would be to follow my excitement and to feel good, to really feel good. And at the very least, to feel neutral about things. And I recognize that I've given so many definitions and I've learned so many, being such a great learning machine. And didn't you say last week, Ben, on our show that people are, what do you say, they're meaning-making machines?
Yes, our minds are certainly meaning-making machines. They just seem to create meaning out of pretty much any situation that we encounter. At least my mind does it, and having gone through quite a few seminars, I found the same to be true for a lot of other people. And they just do this on their own all the time. And if we don't start grab or if I didn't start grabbing a hold of this for myself, I started noticing how other people's input seemed to start providing the meaning for me. And this meaning that was then provided by other people wasn't always serving me, wasn't always feeling good. And learning to listen to my emotions and feeling what beliefs might be in alignment or out of alignment with my own higher mind certainly served in sorting out what's closest to my own personal heart, what's closest to my own personal joy and purpose in life, such that I can actually reach these deeper levels of satisfaction and reduce the conflict with myself. Because oftentimes I too believe that I had to have certain outer circumstances in order to feel good about my life. But really, understanding a little more about the way the world works and not having to take things so personally when other people might be upset or dislike something about that, something that I did, at that point, it became a lot easier to go about my own life and act in ways that just feels good to me. And in the end, when it's really coming from a deeper place, other people are somehow also enjoying it way more. It's quite fascinating. When I'm really getting to that deeper place of listening to myself and acting from there, somehow it's just synchronous, not only with myself, but with other people too.
You know, I love that. And if any listeners would like to call in and join in and offer your perspective or ask questions or participate or steer the conversation in any direction that has to do with life, which is pretty much all directions, we would love to hear from you. And you can dial in at 888-627-6008. And Ben, I
And
loved. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I'm also actually on the fast chat at the same time. So if anyone would like to ask a question through the BBS fast chat, I will be watching the chat every now and then to see whether any questions pop up there. So
here.
please go ahead and ask your questions in any which way that you prefer.
That's awesome, Ben. I haven't ventured into that fast chat yet. I'm just getting comfortable with speaking on the radio. I'm so glad you do that. And what I wanted to, so thank you. And what I wanted to speak to was, you used the word conflict, and I find that very appropriate, because as I move back into the beginning of this conversation for myself with the image, I recognized that in trying so hard to figure out what is the right way, what people want to hear, what they want to see, how I should present myself, what linguistic base I should use, where do my breaths go, what do I say, and all of this mind-twisting, self-numbing justification and illusion, I recognized I was creating such inner conflict for myself. And I don't know about you or anybody else out there, but it seems to me in my world, from my perspective, that that happens in a lot of places. Now, granted, not as often or as intensely as it used to, because it seemed at first when I decided that I wanted to awaken and feel better in my world, that the floodgates opened and it was akin to Niagara Falls pouring through and the awarenesses and the emotions and the beliefs. But I'm still notice as and that there's image points. You know, we've been fed so much, even, you know, like ads, visuals that tell us how we're supposed to look or how we're not, how to create your website, how not to do it, how to talk to clients, how not to, how to have a relationship, how not to, how to be in a partnership, how not to, what language to use, what not to. And I really understand that there are certain ideas and concepts we might want to know, like how to cross a street when we're children. That's important. How to navigate this third dimensional reality in some certain ways, insofar as keeping the body and the flesh safe and feeling comfortable and learning about that and how to nourish ourselves. That's lovely. And beyond that, even though the outer messages are there, we can stop being affected and influenced by them in our own world. And we can be authentic when we notice that there's an inner conflict. Because, Ben, isn't that the ticket? I have found for myself that those conflicting feelings in the body, the twist, the short-temperedness, maybe I'm speaking to somebody with an edge or their spittle moving across the room and landing on their collar, and they say something like, gee, are you angry? And I say, no, I'm not. And yet I know in that moment, if the film was rerun, it's really clear to the audience watching the film of Jasmine in that moment that this woman seems enraged.
Yeah, even if you want to go so far to as what emotions we're permitted to feel or not, which emotions we should feel or not, rather than just letting things be the way they are or allowing ourselves to be the way we are. It's like there are all these boxes which we have to fit into, all these boxes or, for lack of a better word, religions that we need to ascribe to. And I mean, I don't have an issue with any particular religion. I love them all. They're so priceless. They all have such valuable information. The question is then just, what are we resonating with at the moment? And is it okay for us to just let ourselves be? And not just that, also to let other people be where they're at. Because sometimes, just recently, there was someone knocking at our hotel door, and he had a little bit of an attitude. And I noticed myself just joining right in. And that was
simply... Well, you give good attitude, Ben. You give good attitude.
Oh, I certainly can. I've mastered that skill. And it's so funny because I noticed by now that that was just because I thought it was something about me that gave him that state of being. But that's not really true. It doesn't really have anything to do with me. And really, in the end, it has nothing to do with him that I had a little bit of attitude. It was much more about my own personal beliefs. And my own personal belief was saying something along the lines of, oh, well, this person has some attitude and it must be something about me that I did wrong.
Isn't so that interesting?
All of a sudden, I'm invalidating myself and not feeling good about myself and giving the beloved brother in front of me some attitude, which is really not helping the situation. What's the opposite of escalating?
Descalating? Descaling? Sort of what we do with our tub. I'm not quite sure. You know, I love that. That was a good pointer. And for those of you who are listening, you might want to call in and you might not, and it's also perfect. But there's a really good question to ponder, perhaps. What emotions are you allowed to feel? What have you been told that you're allowed to feel or not allowed to feel? Or the way you're allowed to act or not act? I mean, I know there's some gender conditioning ones, speaking from an estrogen unit perspective, that looks like don't be aggressive. Don't be mad. Don't be angry. Just don't do that, because then you're going to be a you know what. And people won't like that. And certainly not the boys. The boys won't like that. You're not allowed to be that. It's okay to be that if you're a male. And from what I understand, with men, there's, you know, don't be too sensitive.
Yeah, you definitely can't cry.
Suck it up, buddy. Come on, tough it out. Be a man. Like, isn't that bizarre that as if our plumbing, whether it's a stem on the apple or not, indoor plumbing or outdoor plumbing, would have some designation on what we can feel and what we can express. And I have found it so freeing to be able to be, to give myself permission, because no one else can, to give myself permission to feel whatever I'm feeling, to really be with it, and then to really notice what I'm believing, what meaning. And if I'm not letting myself feel something, or I notice an inner conflict, like with the image of my business persona, that says it all, doesn't it? A persona. So I can step into my my business shoes and step out. And don't we do that? I mean, I understand dressing and putting on appropriate costumes because it helps others be comfortable. And I'm good with that to a certain degree. I mean, that's okay.
And it can be quite fun.
It absolutely can be fun. But when that becomes an I have to, and then when others are starting to believe that so much that they're pointing, saying, well, your image, the way you're showing up isn't good enough because I don't see your work anymore. I only see the way you look. Or in my case, having a vocabulary that I was once told embarrassed a sailor of 40 years when I went on a cursing streak in Greece one day because something didn't go according to my desires in the moment. So I really went off. You know, that I wasn't supposed to be speaking like that. There's so many rules. And what I get is that when people, you know, stop hearing someone because someone used a curse word. So the whole message is now invalidated because you used the F word, you know, friend or freak. You used one of those words. And what is the conditioning? I mean, never mind. There's also that question, why? Who cares why? My question is, how can I move past it? How can I see what's present? How can I be enough for me? Because at the end of the day, isn't that all that matters? Who cares what the guy at the hotel room thought? I don't. And when I do, then that's really fertile ground when I get a charge in my body or I find myself going into defensive mode. You know, what am I doing? Why am I putting on my pantyhose when I don't want to?
Well, and all of that really kind of comes back to the question, why is all of this even perceivably good? Why can all of this be acceptable?
All of what? What do you mean this?
Whether it's cursing, cussing, or even being upset, being angry, all the things that don't feel pleasant, that do feel pleasant, how can we even judge essentially, very often I have found myself trying to put a measuring stick to things and trying to figure out how can I find more of that excitement? How can I find more joy? And certain things just don't seem to provide that. So
you know
how
what?
Can I move away from that?
I love that. And use the word judgment, which is the other conversation that we've been having. And what I've noticed is that the word judgment is bounced around in the metaphysical community, and it's a good one to play with. It's a good one to play with because it just highlights our inner vocabulary and our meanings and definitions and all of our rules, roles, and regulations that are oftentimes not serving because they're so limiting to ourselves. It doesn't matter if we're saying it about somebody else. We're limiting our life experience. We're saying no. And it's an all-inclusive universe. It is what it is. But what I found is that as you and I spoke, Ben, is that the word judgment, that's all, that seems to me to be the sprinkle on the cake. When I go to the core of that, what I've realized is that there's condemnation underneath that. Condemned. Boom. And that feels so heavy and so eternal. I mean, aren't we condemning others when we say they shouldn't be doing something? You shouldn't feel that way. Don't do that. You're wrong. You're bad. I know it's a heavy one. It's a heavy one, and it felt heavy for me when it came across. But we condemn people's lifestyles, and to me it feels like it's forever. There's no getting out. The judgment is case closed. Boom, poof, life. That's it.
And it's so funny with a lot of religions saying that we have the only way, and everything else is no good. That is usually for me an indicator that something's smelling a little fishy there.
Yeah, something's rotten in Denmark, as they say. And you know what? I love the word religion too, because I mean, immediately I went to all, of course, the established religions. And what I get is that for some people, their religion is Hustler magazine or Cosmopolitan, or the size
of
their
can be.
Sure, yep. Or the size of their nose, or their weight, or their chastity. Or their bank account is their religion, or their who they know, or their status is their religion,
or the image,
or the image. Thank you, Pacha, touche. Thank you.
Well, and what's really funny to come back to judgment and so on. One part that I find so interesting around all of that is. When we talk about a concept like God, for example, this all-loving eternal being, which is judging you from high above, and somehow it's unconditionally accepting, supposedly, and yet it is judging us and throwing us into hell for having been bad. So those two concepts somehow just didn't seem to go together.
I hear that.
And it seems sort of ridiculous because oftentimes this divine power is also called all that is. So how can it be then that it is unconditionally loving and even is all that is, which would actually mean it is judgment. It is all this stuff that's supposedly called bad. And there's just so much inconsistency. So if we really want to explore all of this, then we need to look a little further into really all that is, because how can we actually maybe turn it around and not cut pieces out of our experience by condemning them, saying something like, this is not part of my reality, or I just don't want it to be part of my reality, but rather, how can we maybe turn that around and find a way of bringing more harmony into that?
Well, yes, and I've been working with that and playing with that. And a good question is, as you've asked, what's the advantage in that? Can you find an advantage in the judgment? And oftentimes it can be challenging, especially when it feels personal. That's, you know, especially challenging. I find it can be very easy for me to assist and facilitate and guide another in finding that. But when it feels personal, it can get a little sticky. And so one of my favorite firsts is that, well, I would suppose that the advantage in that is that it's now opening up dialogue for me with myself and potentially with somebody else on a topic that feels a little sticky. And in my exploration of that and in my communication with myself and potentially somebody else means that that can now be dissolved and moved past. And I can open into a newer level of awareness and inclusion. Because once I get some advantages in it, once I get advantages, I mean, even let's take a hot topic, because often when I talk to clients about this or participants in workshops, as you know, Ben, they go right to, well, okay, sure. Well, let's pick a hot button. What about something like Fukushima? How could there be anything advantageous in that? I mean, isn't that an atrocity? Isn't that horrible?
That it's quite funny that you bring that one up, because it's been on my mind as well.
How fabulous.
I've been thinking about it and considering it, because I've really struggled with that one. I had a really difficult time finding anything good about that.
I get that.
Until most recently.
Nice. And so, Ben, we know, we can all point to, and the media is doing this, and even alternative medias, which are actually oftentimes giving us a clearer picture, perceivably, of what's really going on. All the death, the destruction, oh my gosh, it's just detrimental forever. So tell me now, share with me, what are the advantages? because I don't want to not include it. I don't want to push against anymore. So what have you discovered for yourself is advantageous about it?
Well, number one thing it's really highlighted for me is that while things are happening, and especially initially, it's most often very difficult to find the positive aspects yet. And it most often takes some digging deeper or waiting a little longer to actually find the positive aspects. And it also requires the owning of that issue and a willingness to actually explore it much deeper. So it's allowed me certainly to even find out a lot more about this entire process of internally pushing against circumstances that happen around me, as compared to finding a way of including them in my inner reality without having to necessarily say, hey, that's something I want to do, but I also don't necessarily need to invalidate it. Because when I'm invalidating it, it sort of cuts a piece of my own consciousness off, and it doesn't allow me to have a free-flowing energy in that direction. Now, to get a little more concrete, it actually seems to go further and further into the Japanese culture specifically, because it has excluded itself from the world for such a long time. And this is actually opening up the floodgates into a larger unity consciousness for the planet. Now, we're not necessarily going to see all of the results right away, but I think we're going to have an opportunity to develop more of a unity consciousness on the planet, because we might actually realize that we're all breathing the same atmosphere, that thin red lines aren't necessarily really lines that separate us as much as we thought, but we might actually recognize that there isn't a non-peeing end of the pool.
Oh, I love that saying. It's one of my favorites. There's no non-peeing end of the pool. I love that. And you're right. We do all breathe the same air. And I love that you found that. And for me, I go to my first one. It's allowed for an open dialogue. And I agree with the cultural overtones of the Japanese culture. They're very quiet. They stay to themselves. It's almost as though they've isolated themselves somewhat, also individually and emotionally as well. Everything is, they're very held and very dignified in that holding. And everything is very simple and specific. And now, well, wow, things are really being let loose. So I love that you went to that perspective. And for me, I get that I see the advantages, because it's brought more awareness to our world. It's brought more awareness to our ecosystems. It's brought more awareness to a requirement for sustainable energy, for clean energy, perhaps for free energy.
Absolutely. Maybe
even, absolutely. And maybe even a unity consciousness. And wouldn't it be fun if Japan was the country that actually unveiled free energy? Ha! Wouldn't it be interesting if there were some scientists out there who were delving into things and started looking at things like, oh, I don't know, anti-gravity or something like that, maybe. Or looking at, you know, perhaps what comes off of plants and the photosynthesis, how that can be harnessed.
All these energies already exist, and there are definitely lots of scientists that have found over-unity devices which produce more energy or electricity than they use up, or ways of generating electricity definitely that are not only clean, but also allow to create more perceivably than is just put into these devices. So it's where it now comes from, whether it's exactly over unity or not, they definitely create electricity in a cleaner way. And Fukushima has definitely allowed us to have more of a desire for that. And not just that, also a need. And I definitely hope that people start recognizing and reshaping their thinking around these things. And I mean, if I look, for example, at a country like Germany, they immediately started progressing toward radioactivity-free energy generation in their country. Now, this is beautiful. They are taking direct action in relation to these types of events that are happening. And beyond that, I would also hope that there are more and new ways that will be exposed of cleaning up radioactivity that just haven't been considered, whether that might be certain types of mushrooms or...
what came to me was mushrooms.
Whether we look at... I'm not quite sure whether hemp does it as well, but the marijuana plant, for example, the same as sunflowers, both those plants absorb radioactivity and allow to transform the environment into a cleaner place again. And there's...
Actually, in Chernobyl, if I might for a moment, just to speak to that, in Chernobyl, when that, they call it a catastrophe, when that unfolded that way, the first little tap on the shoulder, yoo-hoo, humanity, something needs to change here, they did plant cannabis and also sunflowers, which are the two, as far as I'm aware, the only two plants that actually do clean the soil from radioactivity. And not only that, but they actually enhance it. So you're right. Go ahead.
By putting nitrogen back into the soil, which is beautiful, especially when we are considering at what of a fast rate we are ruining the soil. And that if we're not becoming a little more aware of how we influence our environment, that very shortly the environment might turn even more toxic than it already is. And that there is not only a requirement to start detoxing our own bodies, but even the body of Mother Earth as well. Because it's not like it's just a beautiful resource that we can draw on without any consequences whatsoever. There is certainly a capability of us to give back and contribute in a way that it starts to rebuild the planet from a different paradigm that we just haven't operated in before. But it's certainly allowing us to open our eyes to possibilities and to move in directions that have just been unprecedented or just been kept quiet in many ways. And it's bringing about a necessity to actually look in that direction and to start reuniting again. And I'm definitely hoping for that shift to happen sooner. I mean, there is so many people already asking for something like that to happen, where we are uniting more on the planet and where we recognize that we are global citizens rather than just, I don't know, national citizens.
Or, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I agree with the detoxing process. And when I look at that, it can be overwhelming to look at this, like, how am I going to do anything about this? And I think we spoke to this overwhelm a little bit on last show as well, and it seems to come up again. And to begin the detox process to assist the planet to be uptaking and integrating those messages that we're receiving from these bigger events, know that the Earth is detoxing and doing its thing, her thing, since we refer to it as a mother, doing its thing. And for us, in humanity's level, for each individual to begin detoxing through the thought process, to detox and become aware of the emotional toxins, the beliefs that we're carrying, the resistances that we carry, the lack of inclusion when we say no to something, because it exists. To detox ourselves, to find peace, to find neutrality on topics, to not take things so personally, to govern our own worlds, to be the masters that we are of our world and of our perspectives, to be the alchemists that we are. To use the imagination as the magicians that we are, because we each create our world. we each have a choice. And we can say, oh, that's not going to do anything. I assure, I promise, I guarantee, as a matter of fact, that when any given, one given person begins to open into their emotions, begins to pay attention to their bodies from an awareness perspective, I'm not talking just about lifting heavy objects off of the floor to do repetitions to build muscle, although that can be fun if you like it. But certainly to become aware of the cell memories of the experiences and the perspectives you have on them when you're deeming them as they shouldn't have happened, when you feel victimized by the outer world, when you allow the outer circumstance to dictate how you feel, to go into your internal world with the master key as the alchemist that you are, with this friendly reminder to know that that's who you are and to change your perspective. And that shifts the outer world, because you no longer feel the same way. And what if even this version of Earth became radiated? What if it had no effect on you? What if you could shift into a parallel reality of Earth where it was clean? What if everywhere around you, where you happen to be in your world, was pristine and fresh and abundant and healthy? Because you deemed it and saw it to be that way. It really is that easy. It takes practice. It takes practice. Maybe easy isn't the most authentic word to use, but it becomes easier once we examine. Mm-hmm.
It certainly can be easy. And the question that you asked, how can I do something, I found quite interesting, but I also have felt very overwhelmed with it at times. But if I stop at the idea, oh, I don't know what to do, I can't do anything, I'm so small, I don't have an effect. Well, if I just stop right there, then yes, I not only feel overwhelmed, but discouraged, and maybe even a little depressed.
Yeah.
So what I have learned, though, if I feel any of those emotions, generally I'm believing something that just isn't in alignment with my higher mind, with my higher self, because the excitement is gone. And if I'm just willing to open myself to the idea that there is a way of actually cleaning things up, of maybe making things actually be a lot better than they seemed originally, then all of a sudden the excitement starts to carry me again. All of a sudden, maybe I might recognize that, as you said, for example, maybe the detoxification program actually starts with our minds, with our beliefs, cleaning up our emotional energies. And not just that, also maybe starting to look at, hey, what could I do to actually detox my body? And if I just hear doom and gloom, not to stop there, because there have been supposed barriers in human history that have continuously been overcome again and again by people that weren't willing to just stop at a no, by people that weren't willing to just let their own personal reality and the way that things looked at the time be dominated by what had been there thus far. If we're willing to go beyond and follow the excitement, every single time I, for myself, have personally found that answers are provided to me in one way or another. The answer comes, and I find it so fabulous that most recently, when I've been asking questions to myself or to the universe, the answers have been delivered to my door or to my YouTube account or into my email. It's really, or someone just walks along the street and talks about it while they're walking past me. It's just so magical where all these coincidences all of a sudden start showing up when I'm actually opening myself to that excitement, to that possibility, when I don't feel I have to have all the answers right now. I'm opening my viewpoint to include a longer time frame, and I have a bit more patience with it. or not at that point, it's not even so much patience. It's actually becoming more of a joy, right? Because now it becomes to be more of a journey of discovery rather than a discouraging overwhelmment.
That was beautiful. Well done. And, you know, something comes to me, a saying that a colleague once shared with me, and it stuck with me. And it went like this. There are no unresourceful people. There are only unresourceful states. And in a state of overwhelm or depression or compression or just fatigue, resolve to just give it up, then we are in an unresourceful state. The resources, as you say, you ask a question, it comes to your inbox via YouTube or knocks on the front door or you overhear it, or oftentimes for me, messages come through music. So I'll get a tune in my head or I'll tune on the radio or a bird will fly by and something will just come. And that's oftentimes, always actually, when I'm in an open state, I feel good, or I'm in neutrality, or I'm, you know, I'm really not in a state of waiting for an answer. But I know when I ask, it's going to come. And it does. A little guiding light, a little guidance, lights the next step up, clicks the next link. I go on the internet and I'm wanting to search something and I end up on another site or another link. And it goes, oh, this is so perfect. This is exactly what I was looking for. Those serendipitous moments are created by our inner desire and our excitement and our real knowing, beyond a belief, it's a knowing that it's a benevolent universe and that we are the magicians and we are so supported. And no matter what's going on the outer world, we can decide and steer and direct consciously our feeling about it and our perspectives about it. And when we choose to drive the car of our lives from a place of excitement and joy and wonder and the knowledge, the real knowing, like you know that it's all okay, miracles happen.
And it's so amazing that I keep finding over and over again what I've already thought about or what I believe. And I've essentially started likening it to my mind actually being a search engine. When I put a certain term or a certain thought into my search engine, I actually get results for that particular direction. So when I actually put in, this is just so overwhelming and it will never get solved, then I actually find confirmation for that. But if I'm open to saying, there might be other solutions, and I'm allowing myself to take the time to have them come to me, to have that information show itself to me or just come my way, or to allow myself to dig a little deeper and deeper and deeper, even just beyond the superficial, oh, this is not possible, to dig deeper, the more the how is it possible, that, and even to start letting the reality that usually seems so solid to be a bit more malleable and play with the Play-Doh of my ideas and the world and letting things shift in their own way, then all of a sudden I start to see more possibility and I also start finding more possibility. So whatever I'm willing to put into my search engine, and I can't trick myself through my own personal underlying beliefs, I actually have to address those if they contradict what I'm searching for. I can't just superficially say, I want to now believe, but I don't really. I want to now believe, but I don't really. Then, well, both of those are going to come up and I'm going to find more contradiction potential. But if I'm willing to actually just suspend those things that have been holding me back quite actually and open myself to finding those other new ideas or to potentially come up with completely paradigm shifting results or my own personal ways of going about it, I've always found them to present themselves to me. And it's really like they reveal themselves to me rather than me necessarily always finding them. But I mean, those two coincide. So chicken, egg, chicken.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. And you know, the paradigm shifting starts with you. Every one of us on this planet, every listener, everyone. And I offer something to the listeners that are here. And I'm going to offer this to myself as well, because of course, we're all reflections of each other, yes. I'm not you and you're not me, but we're certainly grand reflections of each other. I offer up for this week to notice if there's anything you're disallowing yourself, any emotional conflict that you have, that you're not allowing yourself to feel or notice what it is you might be feeling. And if there's something where you feel that niggly wiggly or that tightening in your solar plexus or that grinding in your jaw or your hands clenching, to allow yourself to just notice what's moving through you, name the emotion, and notice if you have a meaning or a definition around that anger or that jealousy or that resentment or that overwhelm or that depression that says you shouldn't be feeling that way or that others shouldn't be feeling that way. And you know what? Let that be okay. Let that be okay. Let it be okay to have that run through you. And just let yourself off the hook for a few minutes and take a breath. Just breathe it in and breathe it out and say, that's okay. That's okay. And what we'll do, what I'd love to share, I recognize I just got the 1 minute tap. So we probably have about 45 seconds left on air. So I want to say thank you to everybody who's listened and to all of humanity. And I really feel grateful and honored to be able to take part in this co-creation and offer this vibration out to the grid and to everybody. And thank you, Benjamin. I really love working with you.
My pleasure, my honor. It's been a blast being on the show with you. And please come visit us either on bbsradio.com/thespring or come visit us on our website at theacademyoflife.com. Thank you so much for listening in. We muchly appreciate your presence and attention.
Thank you so much. A great evening, everyone.